Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Challenge Rivals 3 Rehab Podcast for Episode 3. I am Brian Cohen. Here with me, as always, is my co-host, Allie Lesher. Allie, how are you?
I was good until you said Episode 3, and then I'm thinking you must have made some mistake.
It is three episodes. Yes. Somehow, this is Episode 3, and still nothing's happened.
I mean, in a way, it feels like an entire season has happened, and in a way, it feels like it hasn't even. We haven't even done the preview.
I mean, this season, basically, like, we could just do another preview. Like, nothing. I mean, we could just get the start of next week, and we'll just pretend these first three was, like, spring training. Because that's what MTV has done.
If you want to do another preview, it's going to be about Are You the One? I hate to break it to you.
Which probably is actually coming up, so that will be something to look out for.
I had a good time last week, actually, surprisingly. I normally hate doing these podcasts on a totally volunteer, self-driven basis. No, I'm just kidding. But I normally love the podcast with you, Brian, but I had a good time with Colin on the show.
Yeah, it was a little menage a trois action.
Now I hate everything about it. Other people also liked it. We got a slew of five-star reviews on iTunes that Colin will take full credit for. He's welcome to, but I think our buddy Rob's sister Nino is more to thank. So Iris789us gave us a beautiful review on the main Rehapups network. That's welcome too. Just mention us specifically by name. Mm-hmm. No, I'm just kidding. Everyone's great. And then on our show, hit him with the link, Brian.
Rob'swebsite.com/challenge iTunes.
Thanks, my brain just didn't work. So, The Matt That Doesn't Suck, Boucher23, Lorelore G, Speedy88888, Amelia Cat, and It's the Albs. Thank you so, so, so much for your positive words.
They give us strength in these dark times.
And thank you, Colin, in advance for the gloating. I'm sure you will do. If you're still listening, maybe you've cut out since you've been on the show.
Well, I mean, based on, like, MTV standards, he's now a veteran of the podcast, so. Mm.
He's pretty much hosting the show.
Right, basically.
All right, so episode three.
Episode three. Episode three, we have our first time at a club. So.
Yeah, I honestly, I thought you were going to go bananas for this episode, and I see on Twitter that you had some not-so-happy words.
No, because here's the thing, and obviously we'll get to the fact that basically everything that happened in the second half of this episode is completely meaningless, but up until TJ announces that he's throwing a house party, it was a very fun episode, but then I realized nothing matters, so why am I watching right now? And that's when I got upset.
I mean, I guess it depends on your expectations. Like, if you think there's going to be, like, an episode where something happens that contributes to the overall game, sure be disappointed. But no, I felt like, honestly, I thought of this on the way home today. This episode was like cotton candy to me, where if you really, like, think about what's involved, it's like a giant nest of spun artificial sugar, like, not so great. But if you just enjoy it, I mean, this hour flew by while I was watching this show.
You're the only one. For me, what the second he said, like, all right, you guys are fine, you can go drink tequila, I kept waiting for something to happen. So maybe if I, like, rewatched the episode, I would enjoy it more, because knowing going in that, just enjoy it for, like, the carnival ride that it is. But, like, the waiting for something to happen with, like, them on their little date and them having their house party, like, I just was waiting for something, and then it just, the episode just ended. I'm like, oh, okay, time to go to bed.
I think part of it had to do with the setup. So, like, I don't know the order of your TV viewing, any of the listeners or you last night. But if you are a Survivor fan or you're not, there was a 3-hour finale, which I'm going to be locked into the Survivor finale live for 3 hours twice a year. That's just how it's going
to
be.
Right. I watched Survivor. I was delayed. I didn't start till later, but I was Survivor first all the way through. And then I was debating if I was able to watch it last night. But I decided to watch the challenge after.
Okay, so after 3 hours of the Survivor, then I started watching The Challenge immediately after, like, okay, as you did. And I think I was just so, like, emotionally exhausted from Survivor that I totally Mitch-watched my way through this whole episode.
I totally see that's a possibility, that you're almost TV'd out or reality TV'd out or stressed out. And it's also to the point where, like you said, this is episode three. We haven't had a normal episode yet. Like, I just want my normal challenge. And they just won't give it to me. And I feel like, again, like, next week, who knows? Like, maybe we'll finally get on the regular schedule. I just want – give me my routine of, like, what I expect to happen each episode. Stop trying to, like, make fetch happen with this stuff.
Would you say you want your MTV? I'm going to send you that shirt.
Yeah, I want my MTV.
Yeah, it's confusing to me because I think just overall with this episode and this whole season, the challenge format to me was not broken. I felt like we talk about the challenge a lot over the past 2 years now. We've been doing this podcast, as we established before we got on air. We've talked about how it's like a great balance. So it's got the strategy and the competition of a survivor, and it's got the drama of the real world, and it's like the perfect mix. And they're just totally blowing it. I mean, this was an episode of Are You the One?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But when he said it was a house party, I was waiting for him to be like, he was going to do a white out on the beach. And then I was waiting for him to say, like, who's your perfect match? Like, that's what it was. Like, you're absolutely right.
All right, I'm sorry. I took you totally away from the one thing in this episode that is your glory, which is the club scene entrance opening.
Yeah, I mean, the wild ride of, as Corey calls her, Smashley. I mean, this was the highlight of the episode for sure. And, I mean, it's hopefully the sign of, like, many seasons to come for Ashley as a regular challenge person, because she's been, by far, I think, the best part of this season so far.
Oh, 100%. Unlike Tony to Johnny Riley, I will co-sign that. What I loved about this moment and the entire scene from the beginning of Ashley's insecurities festering till she ends up in the boom boom room with Jamie I'm going to say it's my favorite moment of the season, including whatever garbage is going to come. And maybe one of my, I mean, I think I said this last week. This is one of my favorite moments, though, in reality television history.
Which specific moments?
Hello?
I'm still here. I'm asking what specific moment.
I sounded like you cut out at the end of that. So, I mean, all right. So we start out with just the editing. I think, honestly, the editors of the show are like way too talented to be on the show, editing the show. And I think that's why we're seeing like all these weird things happening this season, because they're just getting bored. But when they edit Jamie and Nicole's mild interactions through the eyes of a drunk girl at a club to put you in her shoes and to like maybe piece together a little bit of where this originated, I thought it was absolutely incredible.
And the bet Ashley's like the perfect girl for this, because she always has a face where it looks like she's about to start crying at any moment. She just has that face, like it's the drunk girl crying face. So at any moment it looks like she was about to break down or like freak out, and sometimes she did them both simultaneously. So she was like the perfect person to have this happen to her.
It's incredible with Ashley, because she's a beautiful girl, and then when she's drunk, it ages her 20 years.
Yes.
Like, do you notice that? I showed someone at work that today.
I mean, even like when she's sober, she doesn't look 23 or however old she is. Like, she looks older than she is.
Look, if only I could look older than I am. I went to Florida and people thought I was 14 years old, so.
It's better than looking 44, probably.
Grass is always greener. All right, so, we have an interesting scene here with Camilla and Ashley, where Camilla is, first of all, MTV has gotten so much mileage out of that "you're gonna die" scene with Camilla.
That's like the Cochrane of this show, is like how many times that's gonna be mentioned over the course of a season. Because if you really think about it, that season was like 5 years ago at this point. So the fact that that's still like the only clip of Camilla going crazy, like we better, I think. People overestimate Camillinator being Camillinator because there's how many times we've seen that clip. They think it happened. Like, oh, that happened last season, right? It's like, that actually happened a long time ago.
Yeah, no, that's pretty true. But it just was like, we've never gotten the like self-realization from like the self-awareness from Camilla like we got here. So it's like after 5 years, finally, it's paying off. You know, you'd think after seeing that scene 1,000 times a season since then, she would have realized it. But it took Ashley making this egregious claim that she saw with her own eyes. She saw them make out. She saw Jamie and Nicole make out in front of her. She swears. And I just love that Camilla's like, I honestly just like don't think that happened.
She was so sane in that moment. It really like it's one of those like full circle moments when you see someone like finish their arc as like a character on like a show that you're seeing. Like, and now Camilla's story is done. It's like now she can just like move on, because now she's seen people crazier than her and drunker than her, and now she's like the normal one. So now it's like, and now I can move on.
One thing that I really didn't like from Nicole here, so I think this is what you were referencing, although it took me a second when you posted our question thread on Facebook, the pee in the pants moment.
Yes. Yes, this was what I was referencing.
When Nicole comes in and tries to insist on using the bathroom. Yeah. Well, I didn't like when she says to the camera, like, I didn't kiss some prison guard. What? Is she, like, making, like, a class? Like, ironically, this is, like, Ashley's, like, I could buy your family, which is what sent her home from the real world.
Right. I mean, isn't Nicole, like, a bartender at a strip club? So it's, like, I don't even know which is lower on the totem pole, but they definitely can't be firing stones.
Also, like, jumping ahead a little bit to speculation, what are Nate's career prospects?
Probably not great. I mean, definitely nothing that's going to require him to be in any physical type situation, or definitely no air combat.
And here's what I didn't like about this judgment the most, is that she says it to the confessional, which means she's totally sober, or that we know of. She's presumably sober. This was, you have time to think about it. You know, like, this is not like, at least Ashley was like blacked out when she attacked Corey's family. Not that that was great, but this was like Nicole's like thought out response. I just think that was pretty low class of her.
Yeah, it is a big difference between people talking smack in the confessionals versus when Ashley does it and she just doesn't even remember what she's saying. I agree with that.
Judah Ray Almaria wants to know, what did you think of Corey's handling of the Smashley situation? I thought he handled it very well compared to if someone like Tony were in that situation.
I mean, if Tony was handling it, they would have just had sex. So I guess that's better. But I mean, I thought Corey actually came across very well. And then even later on when Amanda goes nuts, Nelson, I thought, came across pretty well. I thought all the both guys dealing with their partners going nuts actually handled it pretty calmly and pretty sanely.
I'm going to wait on Nelson. But I thought Corey here was like just a really solid partner. You know, like, even Nelson was fine in a way that he didn't go too far. But, like, Corey, like, actively cheered her up to the point where she was ready to make amends with Jamie after being with Corey.
Right. I mean, Ashley returned to the house and was ready. It was just, I think she forgot basically everything that happened, right? She was like, oh, hi, Jamie. What's up? Jamie was like, what the fuck? Like, aren't you mad at me?
More specifically, about what I was saying earlier, this scene between Jamie and Ashley is like the best moment I've ever seen. When he's like, I'm upset, and she's like, why?
And why? Then what happened, darling?
And then she does this whole bullshit of like how she's alone in the game, and Jamie's like, you have so many people who care about you. And then Ashley's like, I don't need them. It's like, I honestly felt myself in this situation. Not that I've ever been like this, but I just feel like it's like the classic drunk girl move where you ask for what you want and then you're like, no, like, I didn't ask for that. Oh my God, why are you offering that to me? Like, I don't need you, even though I just asked for you to be there for me.
Exactly. Yeah. She just wanted the offer just so she could reject it, so she could seem tough and strong.
I just like even want to read out the whole exchange, because then Jamie is just like, why do you have to act so tough, girl? Like, I felt like he was about to break into like a boys to men track.
Jamie, I can see Jamie as lead singer of a boy band.
Yeah, but like a bad one. You know, a bad enough boy band escapes me right now. He could be like Together.
There you go. Sure. Go with that.
Well, then he says, I'm never going to change my facts about you. But if you're going to act like you don't care about me, then I'm not going to chase you. Like, how are you in the position now to pitch to her when she just had a complete effing meltdown over a hookup that did not occur? And yet Jamie's still in a position where he has to be like, look, girl, I care about you. I care about you a lot, but I'm not going to wait around.
It's the power that girls have over guys. It's just what they do. I don't know. You can't shake it.
My immediate reaction, I was on the edge of my seat watching this, and I just wanted to be both of them. I just wanted to like be in that moment of complete insanity, complete televised insanity.
It's a weird thing to want to be a part of an actual life. I enjoy watching it from the outside, but sure, you could be in the moment.
I felt a total connection to this scene. I have no idea why or what the hell that says about me. I just thought like each of them were completely perfect, saying exactly what I would never think to say.
That's the biggest compliment you could give to yourself then.
Oh my God. Yeah. Self-love, man. Mm-hmm. This also brings us like all of our points for the draft this week. So I'm just going to lay it out here. I had some discrepancies with my lovely, I was going to say assistants. They're not my assistants. They're like my co-draft judges. But let me know what you think. So they actually awarded more points than I would have, but I defer to them. So they gave Ashley 2 counts of negative physical conduct
What does that imply?
It's any sort of physical, like throwing something at someone, hitting someone, laying a hand on someone in a negative way.
What was even one of them?
She threw something in the bathroom at Nicole when Nicole came in while being restrained by Corey.
And what was the
other
one?
And then there was a slap that occurred on Corey that I was just ruling one for the whole incident. Megan was ruling three. I don't know what the third one was. And, Mr. Gahan was ruling two. So I met them in the middle at two.
Yeah, that's fine. All right. We can meet in the middle. Okay.
And then we get, plus 10 for Ashley and plus 10 for Jamie. While we saw them kissing in two different locations, it's just a single sesh incident. And no one won the challenge. And no one went to elimination. So right? I racked up all the points this week. Honestly, Ashley and Jamie, towards the end of my picks, best picks yet.
Yeah, they're killing it.
So I add 40 to my last week's 15. So that's a total of 55 to your 15. But a lot of game left to play.
In many ways, including the actual show, because nothing has happened yet.
All right. So I'm like coming down now off this natural high from this scene.
Is there anything else before the actual challenge that wasn't really a challenge, except it was?
Yeah, well,
I guess, right?
Yeah, I mean, the bigger thing to come out of this, besides just Jess, Simone, and V. Simone, and Ashley, the biggest thing here for me was that Ashley speaks for 20 minutes without saying any real words. But there was a bigger thing for our listeners, and it was the accusation by Simone that Ashley's just doing everything for camera time.
Right. Yeah, that actually was an interesting conversation. I think she's just like too drunk to actually have rational thoughts like that, right? I can't see Ashley like thinking that through that night.
I just don't think this occurred for camera time. But in general, I have an issue with the whole accusation of like, oh, they're just doing it for camera time, as though that's supposed to matter to me. Like, I'm supposed to genuinely care about their intentions while on the challenge.
And even if they are, why is that a bad thing? Like, I'd rather you be interesting, even if it's a little fake, than be bland and nothing. So I'd rather that.
Brian from last week was like, Jess is just doing this for the camera.
A little fake. And Jess is, there's just an irrational hatred I have for Jess that, like, I'm going to be a hypocrite about everything I say. There's just something about Jess that is just, I can't. So.
That's how I feel about like 99% of the people I know. So you're fine. Alex Kidwell asked if we believed Samra. What? Is that my muffin? Okay. Sorry. If Simone's camera or theory, if Ashley's faking it, I think we both say no. And then Alex Panda Moran wants to know if anyone else is getting tired of the obvious desire for camera time by people like Simone and Amanda.
I mean, I'm fine with it if they do stuff that's interesting, really. So I have no problem with people trying to make a name for themselves. That's what you go on these shows for a lot of times. If you're not going to win, you might as well entertain yourself and entertain us.
I mean, exactly. Like, they're not paying you really enough for the money to be life-changing. Like, you're not here for a life-changing sum of money and then to, you know, this isn't Shark Tank. Like, it's the challenge. Right. It's MTV. Anyone, you know who else, like, wants camera time? Every single person on reality television.
Yeah, that's why you go on a reality show.
And to me, like, I've always, like, I remember early on in reality TV, people were like, oh, reality TV, it's so fake. Specifically with Laguna Beach. And I was like, yeah, okay, like, and Grey's Anatomy is real?
Yeah, I can't stand the people who make that argument. Like, even like something like wrestling, where people say, oh, it's fake, why do you watch that? Well, it's like, all right, so, I mean, Game of Thrones is fake, why do you watch that? So... It's the old argument.
Since you brought up wrestling again, I have to say I was listening to last week's episode and you made a Triple H reference and then I didn't hear it at the time, but you were like, Allie, that's a wrestling reference for you if you didn't know. You sexist wildebeest.
Well, you didn't respond, so I just wanted to fill you in.
Because there are three people on the show. First of all, not only do I know who Triple H is, but I used to be a big fan of The Big Show and that's all you need to know.
I won't ask why. I don't know if I want to know the answer.
It's a giant in a unitard. Come on, he's the Big Show.
He is the Big Show. The world's largest athlete.
Story for another day. All right. What do you think of Simone? This was another thing is, and I feel like I don't have to tell anyone how I felt about this. Simone's bullshit with Jamie, like, be careful. Like, I think you like her more than she likes you. Like, oh, I'll talk to you about it later.
Mind your business. Get out of it. It's not your place to say anything. You're not even that friends with either of them. So it's not even like you have that. Just mind your business. That's doing something for camera time.
I mean, it's like, I feel like I've stood up for Simone and I immediately regret it. Like any time on any show she's been on that I've ever stood up for her, I completely retract it. That is some shady bullshit and also completely unconvincing. Like she's totally barking up the wrong tree because the girl just had a meltdown over a fake makeout that he had. She obviously likes him.
Right. And I don't think Jamie was like thinking about proposing or anything. Like they hooked up for a week. I think he's just looking for fun to have during the challenge. Like relax there, Simone.
There was, I don't know if you know anything about this. Sounds like you don't, and I don't know, but is there any chance that Jamie and, Ashley are continuing on in the real world?
No, I don't, but side note off that, I did see a tweet that Nate and Nicole are no longer together.
It was over before it even began.
Yeah. So Battle of the X's 3, 4, whatever up to look at them.
Can't wait.
Mm-hmm.
So between Ashley and Jamie, there were some tweets exchanged. This rando chick, Heather, tweeted, do not ever listen to what Simone says at Banksy, who's Jamie. She's the biggest drama queen. Ashley isn't using you. Hashtag the challenge rivals. Ashley Brooke on Twitter, who's Ashley, quote tweeted this and wrote, I think he knows that. Wink. And Jamie quote tweeted that, which again makes it really difficult for me to cover when you keep quote tweeting because then it doesn't show in a thread. Thank you. And he says, oh, do I? Question mark. And she wrote, I believe so. Wink emoji with the tongue. You tell me, Brian. You tell me.
I don't know. We'll have to wait till the reunion. That probably won't happen because MTV doesn't do reunions anymore.
Do we know that they're not having a reunion?
I don't know. I'm just joking. But I feel like we don't have them anymore.
Well, regardless, to me, I just interpreted this to mean that there's still some sexting going on. I don't think they're together, but clearly everything is positive.
Anything is possible.
All right. So, yeah, now that was just my little interlude between that and the challenge. Just a couple quick seconds about that.
And the challenge is dirty laundry. It was a fun challenge when it actually had meaning, but that didn't last long.
If there's anyone who's not being riveted by this show on the reg, do you want to set up what the challenge was?
Sorry, I just had like a massive foot cramp. I was trying to like put it out while I was talking slow. All right, I'm better now. But okay, so the challenge was that each pair was on a pole that was wrapped in soap with water underneath it, and they had to grind back and forth to reveal a series of numbers that were on shirts, and they had to go hang them up.
Do we have any indication of how long this challenge lasted per heat?
No idea. I don't even know how they were going to determine who did the worst either, because it's like it was whoever got the least amount of numbers, right? But if your other people in your heat did it really quick, then obviously you're going to get the less amount of numbers. But that doesn't necessarily mean you did the worst in like the short amount of time, because other people may have just taken longer.
Yeah, I mean, they never intended for this to have any meaningful results. When that was happening, I thought they were going to do then a heat with the four losers.
Right. That's what I thought, too.
But because I was just thinking, like, that was some thick soap. And, like, I don't know how long soap lasts in your shower if you use bar soap or what your grooming habits are. But, like, I feel like a bar of soap could be around for, like, a decade without disintegrating.
Yeah, I mean, this did not look easy at all. It seemed like it took them a little while. So, yeah, this definitely did not seem like a breeze.
One thing I will say is, so Christina and Nate are talking about how it's better to have a bony butt here where everyone thinks like Dario thinks his like big booty is going to help him. But really the method was to use your bones and dig through the soap. I had no idea what the hell they were talking about until today. I was in a Starbucks this morning and I sat down on like a crappy like cushion and my butt bones like went right to the bottom of it. And I was like, oh, I could use this to chop the soap.
I hope you didn't say that out loud, because that would have got some weird looks.
I mean, it's New York City, so weirder shit happens.
Fair. That's totally fair. But I did like the concept of the challenge. This was like one of those old school, like, make them do stupid stuff, but it's still like sort of athletic and there's a little strategy to it. So, I mean, this was like, I thought, a fun challenge.
See, I think you and I had a similar reaction where, like, while this was, like, so overly sexualized by the editors, I was like, I didn't really think this was, like, that crazy. Like, compared to some challenges where they have, like, rubbing honey off each other, like I just didn't think they actually had to touch. So while it looked sexual, they weren't actually interacting in a sexual way.
And I like that maybe they listened to us and readjusted to the fact that they didn't do it like each one going at one time. Like, they actually condensed it. There was only three heats, which I liked.
Not everyone felt the same way about this challenge. Well, you be the judge. Alex Kidwell said, "This struck me as the kind of challenge that not only would people have refused to do in the days of Battle of the Sexes 1, but probably wouldn't have even been suggested. How much closer can the challenge get to being softcore porn?"
I don't know. I feel like they used to do this stuff a lot more back in the day. I mean, the memorable challenge was when they were basically in their underwear and had to go on top of a block of ice and melt it. Like, I mean, that's basically this, but in like cold weather.
Yeah, I mean, Derek Boucher brought that up with the ice, but I don't know. This was like a very graphic motions and just like repeated forever. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was like straddling and rubbing, whatever. You saw it. But overall, it hit me more as playful until Ashley went.
So this part that you think was real from Ashley, I thought this was her attempt to pander to the crowd.
I'm not interested in like determining when someone is not conscious of them being on TV and when someone is trying to get camera time. Like, I feel like we could do a whole nother podcast on identifying, like, all the people who are trying to get camera time.
That's fair.
But why do you think she was pandering? Just because she's insane?
Right, exactly. And, like, she wasn't blacked out drunk, so at least she could have, like, conscious thoughts.
I mean, I thought it was, like, more of a product of the editing that I feel like every time they did, like, a slow-mo, anytime anyone remotely touched. What got me about the Ashley thing that, like, my jaw dropped is when she was in, like, a full horizontal position making repeated contact with Corey. That, like, forget the moaning. Like, that wide shot, like, my head exploded.
Yeah, they ended up in some weird position. Somehow Brie was, like, the only one that was, like, blinded from this. There were some people that just did not handle it well at all.
Yeah, her eye makeup was hilarious. Brianna had, like, eye makeup all over her cheeks.
Yeah, Blair Witch Project was in full effect.
One thing that I do think is interesting to come out of this, although it was irrelevant, is we got in voiceover from TJ about how, while usually on the challenge, the winner from the last challenge, mm-hmm. the power couple, will set the order. This year, if you lose if you win the jungle, you will make the order.
Yeah. I'm not sure why they made the change. I always like the winners having control, but I guess it's their way of like when you play pickup basketball, it's like loser gets the ball this time, but I mean, I don't think it's going to shake things up that much. Because I don't think order changes things that much to begin with, so I'm not overly concerned about this.
Yeah, I mean, Nick Sabetta said usually making the order is an advantage. Does it really even matter if you were bad enough that you had to go into the jungle the previous episode? So yeah. If you're already the worst one, what's the difference?
Right, exactly. And for the most part, I feel like a lot of the people won't even know how to take advantage of being last. Or even if you do, it's like it's not even like, again, like that much of an advantage to go last as opposed to going first. So,
see, I actually liked this. I just think, like, especially in a season where the power couple picks two people to go into the jungle, like, do they really need another advantage, no matter how big or small? Like, I do think that, like, for example, in this challenge, like, we heard people citing, like, we saw other people go, we know where the numbers are, and we're gonna, like, concentrate in that area. I mean, I think it would be more apparent with these time challenges if we saw every single person's time and then we're able to tell if there's a real difference. But I don't mind giving the jungle victors, like, a little bit of an edge.
Yeah, I mean, I will never knock a show for trying new things, so I'm fine with it.
one question I had for you about the order those picked. So Riley, Johnny Riley and Jess picked the order. I thought it was kind of strange because Nicole and Dario are in the first heat. And I thought it was interesting that Kellyanne and Jamie aren't in the first heat instead because of Johnny's connection to Bananas, who's connected to Nani, who's connected to Nicole. Like, this is kind of the first taste, no matter how small, we mm-hmm. get of where Riley and Jess stand and potentially where the house stands.
Well, I think that's a good point. I think what it shows is I don't think Nani is really with Bananas because of with Wes. So that would mean Nicole's not going to be with Bananas. So they're on the outs.
Well, we got reminded last week by a commenter, Twitter human, that we neglected to consider Jenna's relationship with Nani.
Right. Yeah. They're BFFs. So.
So to me, like, I was kind of surprised. Like, was it that much of allegiance to Are You the One? And so Dario is tossed there as opposed to, you know, a bloodline of Kara's and Kellyanne, who's, as far as we know, enemies with Wes also.
Yeah, I think that's probably part of it. I think they're just looking at this point to not make any big statements as early as possible. They're just trying to delay it and delay and delay it. So putting Nicole and Dario there is probably going to cause less of a stir than putting Jamie and Kelly in there.
We also get Tony and Camilla in the final heat with Banana, Sarah, Vince, Jenna, and Johnny and Jess. And at first I was like, did Jess have any authority here with Tony? But we later see how close Tony and Johnny really are.
Yeah, they're boys. Tony's got Riley's back, apparently, which I agree. I did not realize that was a thing.
Now, if you had to pick two people in your life right now to go for a taste of what to go with, who would it be? You're on the spot. We're doing something crazy. I'm sending you for a taste of Watuco.
Obvious. I'm taking you and Colin Stone. Let's go run the podcast back again.
Oh, new phone. Who dis?
I'm being politically correct.
Yeah. What'd you make of this?
I didn't understand that. Like, again, I kept waiting for it to mean something. I kept waiting for them to reveal something at their date or whatever. I kept waiting for, like, I know we joked about this last week. I kept waiting for a hidden immunity idol clue to pop up. Like, I was waiting for something for their reasoning to go on this excursion together.
Molly Block has a theory, and she says it in an amazing way. Seriously, what makes production love Nelson and Amanda so much that they not only spare them an elimination, but basically treat them like kings merely hours into the game?
I really don't get the whole thing. Like, it really, like, why did they need time to get to know Nelson and Amanda as opposed to getting to know the other newbies that came on? It's not like they came on, like, late in the season. Like, they came on after the first elimination, so it's not even like that much time has even passed. The whole situation just did not make sense to me.
Yeah, we have we had a question when I get to it, whatever. At first I was even thinking this, that, like, okay, based on the way the show has gone, it's, like, so clear that there are going to be quits and more medevacs and people getting, like, kicked out to the point where they can only have one elimination in three episodes. But then it's, like, all of this was completely intended from the beginning in episode three.
Right.
So,
I mean, there may be quits and stuff down the road, but, I mean, unless we're, like, speculating deeper stuff about the show, like, they couldn't know that was going to happen to do this right now.
Right. I mean, the only thing that satisfies is, like, why it's edited. Like, maybe they aren't going to have a July 4th episode, as Brian and I are hoping, however unlikely. And they were going to make this a double episode. Like, someone was going to go home. It's not even making sense. Like, I don't know. Maybe they had more weeks than they had people, so they thought they'd have to stretch, and then, like, now they have to stretch it out the opposite way.
Like, I could get doing this if they didn't bring in a new team. Because, I mean, we're through three episodes. We've lost really one team, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, now we're two behind the eight ball in terms of catching up. So, I mean, I would guess there's going to be quits and stuff down the road. But that's something they couldn't have planned for.
Did anything come out of this trip for you, this date, this three-way date with Bananas? This is the thing, is I was all excited, like, oh, something crazy is gonna happen, so, like, Brian and I can break down, like, who we think they should have picked. Did they make the right picks? Who would you have picked? But it was nothing hat came of it. So what the hell's the difference?
All we did was find out once again why everyone's rivals. And now the clip of Simone throwing drinks at Thomas has been on two more times than the season it was actually on.
Amazing. One thing that was like so annoying is Nelson being like, oh my God, now that I hear that Sarah admits to backstabbing Bananas, like now I know I can't trust her. It's like, did you not even see so much as a clip of last season? Because if you saw any highlight clip, this would have been a part of it.
Well, didn't we have this question last week? When was this film? Wasn't this filmed before the previous season aired?
Oh, maybe you're right. You're right.
So,
but still,
you can still rant about Nelson because I don't like him. So,
okay, fair enough. But like, I don't know. You figure he would have heard. He's in the community.
Yeah, but
now I'm just drawing.
It was just the way. It's like, we know why everyone's rivals. Why do we have to deal with the whole point was it's just to rehash why everyone's a rival. Like, we know. Stop showing us. It's the third episode.
I will say, I agree. It was boring, but I did think it was like pretty. I was pretty impressed with Amanda here, and I continue to be impressed with Amanda for like three more minutes, which is like, I thought it was pretty astute. Like, it's a way to ask for information to see how they're interacting. Like, maybe they'll give you something without you having to give anything or looking like you're being conniving, like very innocent. Like, so tell me about your guys. Like, what's your relationship like? Like, I don't know if you're already the one and you need to be finding cracks. Like, it's, I don't know why you picked Simone and Thomas here, but at least like, I thought it was a pretty good showing from her at that moment.
Right. And a shout out to Brandon for being the one to suggest taking Bananas and Sarah, because I don't know where Nelson was going to go, but at least he suggested. I mean, I wouldn't you just take Bananas and Sarah and Wes and Nani and just be like, all right, well, let me just be with all the big power players and just see what happens.
Yeah, but are you alienating yourself from the Are You the One Alliance? Like, I feel like if they literally just walked in at this challenge, it was insane for this to occur. You know, like, Bananas, if you know anything, if like, all right, if Brian, if you're sitting there, you know, Bananas and Wes are not going to give you any information. Like, maybe you pick some people where you can get caught up to what's been going on. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, this is like an unprecedented thing, so I won't even know what to do. But I would just go with and just try to make inwards with the people who are probably going to be the decision makers and at least go with that.
Fair enough. I mean, it was stupid either way.
Yes, I mean, we're trying to make something out of nothing, because this was completely nothing. The best part was just Wes thinking about what all the possibilities were. The fact that they were going to break off and start a new game in a new dimension. Like, that was the best part.
That is like such a product of like complete boredom in the Challenge House.
I'm sure Wes is like PTSD from the exile thing from the last time he was on. He got screwed. He's like, oh my God, what the hell are they doing me now? It's going to screw me over.
I think the biggest thing to screw him over is to put a lovesick Simone on him.
Oh my God, puke. I do not need to imagine any type of love scenario between Wes and Simone. Like, that is so far down on my list of images that I want to imagine.
This was, again, another, like, flawless scene between Wes and Simone. Like, I loved this, too. Not as much as Jamie and Ashley. Don't get crazy. But when Simone is wasted and is like, and Wes like, I thought we were just friends. And Simone's like, all right, I'm not going to lie. You came up tonight. Like, I said something about your attraction. And Wes, honest, like, straight up, I mean, maybe Bananas can take a page from Wes's book in the future and better control his female friendships so that Hannah Bananas isn't pissed off. But Wes full on says, like, I never said I was attracted to you. And Simone flips the hell out. And Wes is just like,
don't you lie on me. Don't you lie on me, Wes.
Wes is just like, this happens all the time. Like, he could not take this less seriously.
He played it so perfectly. That's what it almost seemed like. It was like a skit out of SNL. Like, oh, like, oh, all the girls always sit on Wes. But like, no, this was actually happening.
I mean, and it was so great because like people always say like, oh, you're using your sexuality to get ahead in reality shows. Or, oh, he's, even Simone said, Jamie, she's just using you to get ahead. And here, when Wes says, I'm not attracted to you, Simone immediately is like, then I don't have loyalty to you anymore. Like, I was only playing the game with you because I wanted you. And now forget it.
It's like, oh, if I can't flirt with you to get you to vote my way, what the hell am I even doing here? Let me go find someone else to flirt with.
Oh, my God. That was so ridiculous. Love it.
That's what I'm saying. Like, there was entertaining parts of this whole episode, but like at the end of the day, just like they just ruined it by just not doing anything.
I mean, the pacing was completely off. Like when the, you know, executive producer credits started rolling, I literally checked the time and was like, whoa, was that an hour? Like, I thought something happened. There was only a half hour episode. So it went fast because it was entertaining, but it was weird pace. I mean, it was weird that nothing really occurred to advance the game.
Yeah, I mean, this was like really one of the more bizarre challenge episodes they've ever really done. Like, I can't even remember the last time they had a challenge, didn't announce a winner. No one went home. We added a team. And like, there was no elimination.
And that added team went absolutely banana sandwiches.
Yeah, the loudest entrance by a rookie person ever. I guess he forgets Adam Royer punching someone his first night. But yeah, she was pretty loud.
Entrance, not exit. I mean, I was still impressed with Amanda when this confrontation with Johnny began.
I don't know. I feel like she was looking for an issue. Like, he just asked the question and she was like, well, why the fuck do you even want to know? And he's like, all right, I guess I don't.
What bothers me about Johnny here and what impresses me about Amanda is like Johnny's like pretty fake. So like all of his shit is, I mean, besides when he's berating Jess, like most of the shit he talks is to the camera, especially this season. And like part of that, okay, it's strategic gameplay. Like he's just bitching about Jess and he's trying to be nice to her face for his own benefit. But like Johnny goes to the camera and is like, oh, like if you're gonna be like that when I'm gonna try to get to know you, no, I didn't care, but now I definitely don't care. Like, whatever. Like, you're just salty because she treated you the way that you would treat someone in your head. Like, I feel like I could totally see the reverse situation where Amanda says to Johnny, like, oh, like, tell me about yourself, whatever. And Johnny freezes her out. But because Amanda's doing it to him and he thinks his toes are gonna get kissed, he was like put off by it.
Yeah, no, that's totally fair. He doesn't really, yeah, other than Jess, even to Jess, he doesn't even really say that much stuff. He kind of just like gives like one word answers and zones out when I'm trying to like think back. Most of his shit talking is actually to the confessional, which isn't really a good look.
And when Amanda lost me here is when Tony gets involved and she just starts like whipping out like the bazookas for everyone.
Yeah, I mean, I thought Tony was gonna like basically try to hit on her at that point. He was like, what's your name? Amanda? Okay, Amanda. And then, like, he actually was, like, defending Tony. I didn't think that was the way it was going to go. And again, when did Tony and Johnny have any interaction that they're now boys? Like, Johnny wasn't even on last season. So it's not like they could have met then. And it's, I guess they formed a really close bond over this last week.
I mean, who can say with Tony? I certainly can't. I leave you to be the Tony correspondent.
Oh, just quickly, what do you make of Kellyanne offering during the challenge the little googly eyes to Tony? We can have a Kellyanne versus Jess for Tony's heart battle later on.
Wait, I missed that.
Yeah.
Well, what happened?
Kellyanne was like, I always thought Tony was just like a pretty face, but he's looking pretty good rubbing up against that pole.
Holy shit, where was I for that?
Yeah,
I was too busy thinking about
it. We got glimpses of a few different, because then we got the first glimpse of the Nate and Nicole romance
that I saw
developing. So I guess this challenge did develop a couple of romances, hopefully. We'll see.
That I did see. But back to this Amanda, Hurricane Amanda situation. Michelle Dola says, can we take a moment to be in awe that Camilla actually entered the Amanda, Johnny, Tony fight calmly and with the sound argument that threatening her partner is threatening her fate in the game as well? How entertaining, this is jumping back a bit, how entertaining was Camilla looking at Ashley in the club bathroom and wondering if this is what she was like previously? Do you think we've entered a new phase for Camilla?
I think so. I think she's now the getting too old for this shit. I think she just realizes, like, I don't have time to be flipping out on these people anymore. I'm just going to be calm and be like, look, don't go after Tony. Get out of this. Let's not do this. And then just move on.
Yeah. I mean, my same reaction was like, yeah, it's a new phase and it's called retirement. But what I did think was amazing here is that the source of the rivalry between Tony and Camilla is that Tony came for Larissa, Camilla's sister, and Camilla stepped in and said, like, an attack on my sister's attack on me. Now we have the same thing, bonding them together. Look at that.
Time is a flat circle.
All we need is Nani now to, like, to unite with Tony or somehow, and we have, like, a whole thing.
Speaking of Nani, has she spoken this whole season? I can't remember anything she's done this entire season.
You're going to have to go to Will Simon for the confessional count on that.
I'm going to look that up because I really don't remember anything she has said. Like, she may not even be on this season, and then I would probably believe that.
One thing I think we are guaranteed to remember from this season is just Amanda. If Amanda goes out next week, she is still guaranteed to return.
Yeah, I do. That's the one thing I do like when the people from RE1 come over, they keep their same persona. They don't try to change anything. I mean, this was her during RE1. Like, this was, there's no facade here. Like, this, she just goes off on, like, sometimes the littlest thing, sometimes the biggest thing. She's no holding back.
Corey has a confessional here sort of implying that Amanda's, like, going to make her mark on this season, like, trying to, like, show up, basically implying she's doing it for camera time. So what do you think's her motivation? Do you think she's, like, playing to return here? Do you think this is who she is? You know, what do you think?
Just a quick update. Nani's had 7 confessionals, about 2 an episode. So, I mean, bottom tier, but she's been present. I think it is. She's trying to make her mark. And also, I'm in partly that, but also I think this is just who she is. Like, I think she probably does this in actual life. She just blows up on people. I think she's just a hothead, stubborn person. And I mean, she said it best. Like, when I'm in the crowd, I'm not going to back down. Like, maybe this is a one-on-one thing. Things could have been done differently, but she's not going to be looked embarrassed at when it's like her first night in front of all these people. She's just going to go apeshit. So...
yeah, I mean, I think part of it could potentially be, like, this is what got her on the challenge from Are You the One? So, like, subconsciously, if, like, the producers gave you, like, positive feedback or whatever, like, maybe you have that in your head. But I also just totally agree with you that this is her. Like, this was not, for anyone who didn't watch Are You the One, like, this was not surprising at all. Like, she was in a relationship with this guy, Mike. I'm referencing him because there's some tweets I'm about to reference. And basically just went... their whole relationship was just like completely like this incident with Amanda. It's like perfect. So Mike tweeted at her, "Dude, LOL. I just watched the episode tonight. Ha ha ha. You belong on TV forever. I could so tell when you were hammered when you spoke." Yeah, Mike, we all could. Like, when someone's slurring their words, you don't have to like really know someone intimately to know that they're drunk.
It's deep-seated thinking there by Mike.
"If you're doubting Mike," Amanda confirms, "I was so effing turnt, literally like 10 shots of tequila. Yikers. Ha ha ha. That's real. I wasn't acting. LMAO. Mike with another quote tweet. "Ha ha. No, you're 100% being real. Within 2 seconds, I turned to my boys and was like, yo, she's lit right now. I can hear it." And Amanda said, "Going into that effing wasted and having my guard up was not a good combo. Ha ha. Oh, well, like I give an F. Hashtag 49 stars.
Oh, that took a second to really. Yeah,
she wait for it.
She thought there was only 49 states, right? That was the joke from Are You the One?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there you go.
All right, so a couple people have questions about what the fallout from Amanda's freak out is going to be. PJ Gahan says, "Does Amanda's outburst at the end of the episode almost guarantee that it will be everyone versus Are You the One in terms of eliminations going forward?"
I mean, I think it'll at least be everyone versus Amanda and Nelson, but this definitely doesn't help the Are You the One pack trying to get together.
Yeah, this is definitely a more extreme version of Nate not jumping out of the helicopter. It's like they only need one reason to send you in. They already had a pretty good one. You were the late Are You the One entrance, and now you like came for every single person.
Yeah, and it doesn't. And at least the other people have had time to at least build some friendships. Now it's like, all right, so these are totally on the out. So, yeah, I'd be pretty surprised if they were not one of the teams thrown in next week, if there even is an elimination.
Billy Gross says, "Did Amanda make the best decision for her longevity within the franchise by coming in and acting like a complete psychopath her very first episode?"
I mean, there's a balance, right? Because, I mean, you can act like a psychopath and come back, but if everyone hates you, I mean, what's really the point? Like, at least you have to build some friendships to keep yourself going.
Yeah, I mean, I also don't think this even precludes her from forming friendships. Like, yes, in the next episode, sure, but I don't know. I feel like the attention span for the challenge people is like 2.2 seconds and that this isn't like a nail in the coffin moment for her. But I think this is all but ensures her coming back. She's got a tumultuous ex, although for people who didn't watch Are You the One, unclear if they'd bring them back because there was a domestic violence issue with them on Are You the One.
Right.
But if she hooks up with someone, I mean, she's got Christina upside. If Christina can come back, I never thought we'd see her back after her like 5 seconds on the show.
Christina upside. What a bar that is.
Andrew Kirk wants to know, what crazy do you prefer, Ashley or Amanda?
I like the Ashley crazy because I mean, that was wild stuff in the club.
I like both Ashley and Amanda, but I mean, Ashley just set the bar pretty high with one of my favorite scenes in the history of the world.
Right. Hard to top that.
Marianne Curtin says, I can't decide what was worse, the drunk talk air Ashley or the completely over the top stupid talk Amanda, or was she drunk too? My question, if you saw your drunken behavior on TV, would you then take the sober pledge?
It's like a normal person you would, but these aren't like, these are like different species. So they look at that and they laugh at them, like, oh, I can do better next time.
But they're, I mean, I feel like you get positive attention. Like, I have to believe from just what little I know about reality television is like the producers stroke your ego. Like, if they like you, you'll know it, and they'll know you'll know exactly what they like about you, and you'll feel encouraged to keep doing it. So
especially if you're not breaking stuff. I feel like that's what they don't like, when you start like throwing stuff and breaking stuff. But if you're just yelling and being wild, like, I'm sure that's fine. I think it's when you start breaking stuff is when they're like, all right, this is kind of getting annoying.
There's no way they didn't love this from Ashley and Amanda.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, this was the perfect spot for them.
I mean, Exhibit A, Ashley's return. Ashley was a complete hot mess on her season of The Real World, and they brought her back.
Right, exactly.
As was Amanda, whatever. We've already been into this. Derek Boucher says, he asked three questions. I'm going to have you pick whatever question you want to answer of these three. Derek Boucher, one, how horrible are the voiceovers by TJ? Two, is Jamie on the roids or just gotten chubby? And three, how much longer will the greatness of Amanda be on? I say one of the next three out, but she's awesome.
The voiceovers are weird because it's always, they're weird timing. Like, I'm not sure why they needed the voiceover to explain the fact that they used to always have the winners do it, or why he couldn't just say that to begin with. But it is really awkward when they try to do it mid-sentence. Like, that was supposed to be mid-sentence, him saying that, and that's like a totally different sound quality. So those are always fun. And yes, Jamie's probably on steroids.
I don't know that you look that closely at his body, unless this is a result of 2 weeks or 6 days or however long it's been without the injections.
Yeah, he's probably downcycling.
I don't know if it could happen that rapidly.
I have no idea about the effects really steroids have on the body. So
just a couple of wrap-up questions. I don't have anything else on the episode, but we got just a couple more questions.
Yeah, fire away.
Ashley Alfonso says, am I the only one that thinks that they are trying to make new regulars in Ashley, Amanda, Simone, and Nicole, that they are stretching episodes to make them characters on this show, since they know people like Sarah and Nani are moving on with their life? Camilla stated on Snap that she's probably not doing more challenges after this.
I mean, I guess it makes sense to like at least focus some of the stories. I don't get the stretching out the episodes because that kind of just damages the quality of the actual show at their expense. But I mean, I fully understand why they would try to focus the stories on some of the new characters.
Have they picked the right people in your mind?
I think they're getting better. I think the first choices from the first Are You the One weren't great. I think they're making better choices from season two and season three choices. I mean, I think Devin, Cheyenne, and Ashley were all good choices. I mean, I don't know about Nelson, but I mean, I think 3 out of 4 from the third one was pretty good.
The only thing I can think of now is like, if they know that the lifespan of an Are You the One person is short in the game, but they do want to build up these new characters, maybe that's why they have to. I mean, look, if Nelson and Amanda were voted into the jungle or just went into the jungle, I mean, they lost their heat and went home, they would have had half an episode on, and then how do they justify bringing them back? So maybe that's why they're prolonging the beginning of this, and we'll see the end move a lot faster, because they need these people who are going to go out early to be bigger presences.
Right. I mean, do you think they only did this? Do you think they did this, the twist of inviting the dinner, because they did so poorly? Like, if they won their heat, do you think there ever was a plan to make this an actual challenge, or was it always the plan to do them going away and whatever?
Yeah, I don't think so. Unless I think they would have had to have lost the jungle, but I think it's more likely that not only lost their heat, but then they were confident that they were going to lose the next round. Because then to make this challenge work, there would have had to have been a fifth round with the losers.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're suggesting they ran that fifth round and then said, just kidding. But I think that would have come out.
Right.
I just think it's more likely that they were like, look, we're going to introduce this new pair. We want to get some Are You the One people, some screen time. Let's just not do an elimination today.
I guess that's probably the way it went down.
I mean, they could have introduced them earlier, though, because Leroy went home. When did Leroy go home?
He went home the middle of last episode, right?
They could have brought them back. Well, what they could have done is brought them back after the elimination. Like, right. Sent Devin and Cheyenne out and brought in Nelson and Amanda and then had them there for, like, some club scene that night and then the whole next day.
I'm sure, like, most people were relieved when they saw Amanda and Nelson and didn't see, like, you know, CT or Cara Maria or Laurel. Right, or, like, any, like, big players that might actually make a difference. And they're like, oh, thank God, it's just another crappy Are You the One team.
No, most people are probably like, I don't recognize those people. So,
right.
How about, like, TJ? Were these just people off the street? Is this fresh meat?
TJ literally had to explain who they were. He's like, Amanda popped off and Nelson didn't like that. So that's why they're rivals. It's like, oh, okay, thanks, Deej.
So Adrian Vera says, based on the trailers, it looks like TJ sends at least three more teams home. He has shown sending people home wearing different shirts. Do you guys think that this is the reason why this was the question about stretching the episodes? But what do you make of this? There was somebody tweeted this at us. I retweeted it. There are scenes of TJ seeming disappointed and seemingly sending someone home in three different fantastic outfits.
Right. I really would not read anything into a challenge trailer. I think they manipulate that stuff. So I'm not really breaking ground here that reality shows manipulate their trailers, but I really wouldn't read into that. Like, he may be coming there to say, like, oh, I heard someone wanted to quit, and then they don't actually quit, or like something else could have easily happened. Like, I wouldn't dig deep into that. If three teams quit, TJ will probably he'll start murdering people.
Well, I think we can almost guarantee that someone gets sent home based on what we heard.
Right.
So it doesn't necessarily need to be quits, but I don't know. I think it's a fine line, because I totally agree that, like, there are, you know, we sometimes see things in, like, the opening that we never actually see during the season, but sometimes we see MTV, like, completely spoil something exciting. So it's either, like, this is exactly what's going to happen, or you're never going to hear TJ saying it.
Both, and they're both equally possible. That's the fun 50-50. Of MTV. Yeah.
A little speculation for you. Emily Crow says, since so little happened in this episode, I have a hypothetical. If Evan and Kenny hadn't been banned from the challenge because of the Tanya incident, would Bananas still be seen as the king or more like their sidekick? If they were both interesting and funny characters, and I always felt like Bananas... I'm sorry. They were both interesting and funny characters, and I always felt like Bananas followed their lead on the show. Are those two leaving the challenge roster the best thing that has happened to Bananas as an indispensable challenge character? Oof.
That's a very deep question. This is not going to be a very deep answer. Maybe. I mean, you can't tell. Like, obviously that helped Bananas kind of become more of the forefront, but maybe that he would have just won more when they were there. I mean, he beat Kenny and Evan when they were all on. Like, he won the rival season when they were all on, so it's not like he never beat them before. So I think it's possible that he would have won just as much or maybe even more if they have more of an alliance. So I mean that's very, very speculative.
I mean, it would be interesting to see if there was still that, like, completely solid alliance, what MTV would be doing. I feel like it really would complicate casting, because I don't think you could have, like, the seasons that became Wes versus Bananas would not be as interesting if there wasn't some amount of scrambling, as opposed to, like, Kenny, Evan, Bananas locked in, plus their side pieces, you know, that kind of thing. I also think it's the best thing to happen to Bananas' contract negotiation.
Right.
I think if there were more people that could fill Bananas' role, he would not have even close to the leverage that he has now. So,
yeah, I mean, they built the Fresh Meat 2 season around Kenny versus Wes. And I mean, who would be the first West now? I mean, it would be just like CT, but I mean, who knows if he's even doing it anymore yet? I mean, yeah, the best thing that happened to, for Bananas is now he's has to be on every season. Like, there's he can't, they won't let him take seasons off, or he won't take seasons. Like, neither party wants to take a season off.
One thing I'll say to just at the tail end of this podcast, if Simone goes home because of her butt next week, I will lose my goddamn mind. That will be the best thing to ever happen to me. Did you see the preview?
I did. Let's hope. Okay. And don't Brandon and Bree threaten to quit? There's a whole this. If we're thinking about the three episode, maybe TJ shows up in all three outfits next that week, and that all we do is seeing sending people home.
Can't wait. There was some Twitter things that I want to just get your take on. I am pulling up my favorites on my phone because that's where I save all my challenge stuff because it's my favorite. Okay. Read that. Okay. So it was kind of confusing. Like, Wes was kind of like instigating with Devin, but it seemed pretty playful. Like, they do have a good relationship, but I couldn't really get a read. Did you see any of this?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, this is what I get for following all these clowns. Okay. It's all for you guys. Wes tweeted, "Hey, at MTV Devin Walker, wouldn't it have been cool if you won so you could have stayed on the challenge longer than like 5 days?" And Devin said, "My favorite thing about Wes is how nice he is and how he never pours salt in an open wound." And then Wes said, "The challenge is really pissed at themselves right now that they chose Devin instead of Kiki." Kiki quote tweeted that and said, "Bahaha, I know you're being sarcastic right now, but I still love it." Wes said, "No, I'm not at all. Chuck and Big D stands for dud, as in the biggest one ever." Devin said, "Don't bring Chuck into this. He's an angel, of course." And then Wes said, "Speaking of another person MTV wish they cast instead of you." Devin then brought TJ in and said, "TJ, if me and Wes are ever on another challenge together, I just like everyone to know I'm voting him in first." Then, of course, when you say Chuck's name and MTV in the same sentence, he appears like a genie in a bottle and says, "Can't we all just get along?" And Wes says, "Let's be very clear here. We've all seen the trailer for Are You the One 4? You're never getting ass back," which was fucking amazing. I'm going to like that. Oh, it's a screen grab. I just tried to like a screen grab, everyone. Okay. And then Devin says, "Shit, there goes my 10-year plan," which was a pretty good burn. And then Wes says, "Us three angel emojis can, but Devin is out of the club. A new band is being formed." I guess that would be Wes, Chuck, and Kiki.
How about Wes doing Are You the One recruiting?
I mean, I just thought that was phenomenal. Then Chuck says something totally irrelevant. And Wes said, "Mandatory foamer chug, now go," which to me means that Wes has been following them on Twitter for their entire season of Are You the One.
I feel very like Wes strange. Secretly watches all these shows. Like, he probably knows everything about all the Are You the One people.
That foamer chug wasn't even on the show. That was like on Twitter, like a thing they used to do amongst themselves.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Like, I feel like he's very like in depth and in tide. I can't think of the word, but he's very involved in like all MTV stuff.
And then Cheyenne got involved and said, "The Wes and Devin bromance has seemed to follow us all the way back from Mexico." So is this guy love between two guys?
It's just guy love. I think it's building up for next season. Maybe Wes fails to recruit the Are You the One people this season. It's his downfall. And now he's doing it for next season. Boom. There's my story.
All right. That's it. What more is there to say?
Nothing, because that was more entertaining than, or more informative than, the episode.
It wasn't hard.
Hopefully, do you think we'll have an elimination next week? Prediction.
Yes, I would be willing to bet normal five. Episode. I would bet, I'm not going to say it's a normal episode, but I will bet 5 of my fantasy points that there's an elimination next episode.
Okay, I will not accept the bet because I do agree that there will be.
So. I would like to keep to bet fantasy points, though. I think that's exciting.
We should do that. What's like an actual bet we can do?
You tell me. You're the I don't know. You're the person.
Here, does someone quit? Does someone quit next week?
I will take no for 5 points, Alex.
All right, I'll take the yes.
All right, and I'll give you 1.5 to 1.
Okay.
So I'll give you odds.
All right. Fair enough.
All right. So with that, we have a virtual shake. Shake Boom. Your microphone.
I am. I'm shaking my microphone.
I'm not doing anything.
In the least sexual way possible.
That's extremely weird, and I didn't enjoy it. Please end the podcast.
We'll be back next week, episode 4. You can subscribe. robiswebsite.com/challengeiTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at BusDriversRoute, and they can follow you
at LashTweets.
Until next time, have a good one.